Dear eternal God, our Father, we come unto you this morning, God. We thank you, we praise you, God. And Lord, if it had not been for your goodness, if it had not been for your mercy, God, if it had not been for your faithfulness, Lord, where would we be? But God, we thank you so much. We thank you for your word this morning, God. We pray that you would speak now. We have listening ears, listening hearts, and obedient minds, God. Help us, God. We thank you, we praise you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Again, we thank and praise God for us being here this morning. Those have been following us the last couple of weeks, we have been in Psalm 100. And as promised, we're going to close it out today. Psalm 100 is really unique in the fact that it's a short psalm, but it's full and impacted with so much power. In this one short psalm, we have two invitations. The psalmist opens with an invitation to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And then you get down to verse number 4, he gives another invitation to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. He says for us to be thankful unto him and bless his name. This is an invitation for all of us. It is not localized to just those who heard it. But then he gives us in verse number 5 what I know as an unqualified declaration. And that unqualified declaration is in the first few words. For the Lord is good. And that's my sermon for this morning. The Lord is good. Notice that the psalmist does not qualify the Lord is good. And as I begin to look and evaluate this psalm and look at the reason why he does not qualify it, because God's goodness is experiential. In other words, what I'm saying is that all of us right now, based upon where we are in life, are experiencing the goodness of God. Let me say that one more time. Despite where you are right now in life, you are experiencing the goodness of God. No matter what the challenges you may face, the fact that God let your days roll on a little while longer, the fact of the matter that he woke you up this morning, started you on your way, is a testimony of the goodness of God. So no matter what comes my way, I can still say, Lord, you've been good. You've been good to me. And see, the reality of it is that God's goodness is everlasting. God's goodness is immutable. God's goodness does not change. Listen here. God's goodness is not predicated on how you perform or how you behave. And so that's why I'm glad that God is good. All the time. And all the time, the Lord is good. Amen, amen, amen. Don't need a qualifier there. I don't need to build up God's goodness. Because God is good in his nature. Psalms 100, this fifth verse is the concluding verse of this short but powerful psalm of thanksgiving. And that it is a psalm of thanksgiving. Listen here, this verse presents three key aspects of God's character: his goodness, his mercy, and his faithfulness. Let's take a look at this. He says, for the Lord is good. Here the psalmist starts by affirming the inherent goodness of God. This declaration of God's goodness is not merely situational, but it is tied to his eternal nature. In other words, God does not just do good. He is good. No matter where he shows up, no matter what happens, God is still good no matter what. Why? Because his character, his nature is intrinsically good. There's nothing that is bad about God. Listen here. Even in God's anger, even in his judgment, God is still good. The Bible tells us that whom the Lord loveth, he chastises. He scourges us. He corrects us. And it's all out of his love and his goodness that he has for us. And I wouldn't serve a God that was not good all the time. No, I don't mean that things in our lives are going to be good all the time. Does not mean that. And just listen, just because you're going through something, it is not a reflection on whether or not God is good or not. You don't know the reason why you're going through what you're going through. You don't know the reason why. You don't know the journey that God has you on. And understand that God wants to get us on a path that leads to him, a path that leads to righteousness. And there are times that God will allow our sin, the consequences of our sin, to fall on us. Understanding that we need to understand that when that happens, that God is trying to get us our attention. There's an area, there's a place that God is trying to get us to. And it's a good place. It's a place that honors him, that glorifies him. Because ultimately, that's what we were created to do, is to glorify him. Not to be glorified, not to be served, but to glorify him. So I don't care, devil, bring it on. Whatever you have for me, bring it on. Because I know and realize that God is good and that God is going to see me through whatever comes my way. When we look at the immutability of his goodness, it declares that God is good and it reflects his unchanging nature. And I'm so glad that God does not change. Because if God changed like we changed, all of us would be in trouble. You see, because God's goodness is not like our goodness. We're good as long as things are good. But God is good always. He does not change. We don't serve a fickle God. And I know it. There's some people that believe that God is always angry. He's always angry. No, the Bible says that no, God is not always angry. But it does say that his goodness lasts forever. Even in his judgment, it's an act of love. And God has been trying and will continue to try to get you to a place to understand and see his goodness. And that's the problem with the church. That we won't focus on his goodness. We don't focus on his kindness. Far too many people in church want to send folk to hell. People don't need no help going to hell. They don't need no help. They can get there all by themselves. It's our responsibility to show them the goodness of God in hopes that they might repent, that they might turn around. That's what this is really about. We keep opening the door and ushering people into hell, just like those folk that would usher the three wise men into the fiery furnace. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We need to show them the goodness of God. Listen here. God's goodness is wrapped up in his love for us. That's the reason why God is good to us. It's simply because he loves us. That's what it's really about. His love, his infinite love for us. And his love, as well as his goodness, can never change. Never change. Because he's an unchangeable God. He said, I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. If God was a changing God, he'd be able to kill them dead right then and there. Even though we deserve it, God still withholds it from us. That's in his love and his goodness for us. I told you last week, it's a sweet deal here we have here with God. It is the best deal that we have. It's the best deal that's out there. Because God not only saves us, but then he comes in and he empowers us to live a life in accordance to his will, in accordance to his word. We can't even take credit for our own faith that we have. It's all because of God's goodness. As a matter of fact, did you not know that it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance? That's what Romans 2 says. It's his goodness. It's his nature of who he is. Here's what I'm talking about. You ought to be able to look at your life and see how good the Lord has been to you and then realize that I'm not living up to the standards in which God has set for me. Therefore, let me change some things. Let me change the way I think, the way I operate in this life. That's what true repentance is really about. True repentance is not about just changing some things externally. No, anybody can do that. It's about having a change that's in the mind that gets down in the heart and produces a change in the way you behave. And it's all because of his goodness. It's not limited to time or space or area. It has no geographical location. It has no time constraints. God is good at 2:00 in the morning. When you are asleep and don't even know it, God is still good in your life. As a matter of fact, he's the one that allows you to sleep and have that peaceful rest. It's the goodness of God. He's good. He's good in the fact that we live in a country where we're free to worship God. We can worship God without any type of persecution. God is good. And he's universal in his goodness. Even to the unsaved, God is still good to them. Don't you think just because you saved and on your way to hell, you're the only one God good to. God's good to this entire world. Because he created it in a habitable zone in the universe where we can live and have an atmosphere where we can breathe oxygen and drink water. God is good. Yeah, I can give you all the qualifiers you want, but here, the psalmist didn't give none. He simply said, the Lord is good. That's it. The Lord is good. But here, listen, look at here. Not only is the Lord good, but the Lord is merciful as well. Let's touch on this for a minute because really, you know, the mercifulness of God, God being mercy, is God not giving us what we really deserve. Yeah, because his mercy is wrapped up in his compassion for us. God had pity on us. And all of us needed the pity of God because all of us were sinners on our way to hell. What I really deserve is hell. I know you don't think that about yourself. But I know where I come from. I know where the roads I've been down. I know where I came from. I know what the Lord had to deliver me from. I know what God is still delivering me from. I ain't that good on my best day. Because all of my good works are as filthy rags before him. They mean nothing. But it's because of his mercy, his compassion that he shows for me. Let's flip this around then. If God has been merciful to us, then ought we be merciful to other folk? Shouldn't we show some compassion to other people? You know, I mean, the thing is, I mean, we look inside the church here. Again, we showing mercy to people inside the church. What about folk outside the church? What's up with that? How come we can't extend the same mercy, the same grace? How come we can't extend the same compassion, the same love? This is what God wants us to do. This is what he has mandated in his word for us to do. Because Jesus said that when you've done it to the least of these, when you fed the hungry, when you visited the sick, when you went to those who were incarcerated and visited them, Jesus said, when you've done that to them, you've done it unto me. You've shown mercy to them. You're showing it unto God, that God might be glorified. And it's all in how we live the lives in which God has given us. That's what it is. These lives don't belong to us. I don't belong to me anymore. I've been bought with a price. I've been washed. I've been cleansed for work. I didn't get to get saved just to get saved. I got saved so I might be able to work in the vineyards. I want to help as many folk as I can. I won't limit myself. I can't limit myself because Jesus didn't limit himself. Jesus went to those who were outside the commonwealth of Israel. Yes, he came to the Jew first and then to the Gentile, but he came. And he reached out. He pulled people in. That's the mandate. God was merciful to us. God showed us mercy, and we need to extend the same mercy unto others. Here he says that his mercy endureth forever, that is everlasting, that there is no end to his mercy. In other words, when you woke up this morning, you woke up to mercy. When you went through today and yesterday and the day before, you went through with the mercy of God. When you laid down last night, you laid down on the bed of mercy. And it was mercy that woke you up this morning. It's the mercy of God. And even though we have an end, you're not going to be on this earth forever. But all the days that you live, you're experiencing the mercy of God. And here's the reason why. Because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. All of us deserve death. But God gave us another day. Gave us another day to get it right. I mean, how many of us going to get it right? I mean, how many times do we have to keep blowing it and dropping it before we really get it right, before we really understand the significance of what Christ did for us and what he expects for us to do for him and others? Every time I say something like that, it get a little quiet in here. That's an opportunity for you to just wave your hand and say, Pastor, I got you. I'm going with you. I'm on the battlefield. I'm going to be out there. I'll be doing what Christ has done, how he's demonstrated for me. I'm out there. I'm doing it. Yeah, there's about five folk, and I'll make six. He said that his mercy is everlasting. And he goes on to say, and his truth endureth to all generations. God's truth is in his faithfulness. God is a faithful God. What does that mean? That means that you can depend on him. That's what it means. That means even when things look bad, you can look back and you can depend on God. He's gonna always be there. There's nothing that will stop God from showing up on your behalf. God will always be there. He said, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. God will always be there in the midst of your storms, in the midst of good times, in the midst of bad times. God's gonna be there. He will not forsake you. I know God. There's a lot of times, God, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve you showing up on my behalf, but you show up anyway. You show up anyhow. You show up and you show out. So, Lord, thank you Thank you for healing my body, Lord. Thank you for saving my wretched soul, God. Thank you for taking me out of financial ruin, God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for my relationship issues that you brought back together. Just when I thought it was all lost, God, you showed up. You showed up and showed out. Glory to your name, God. You are worthy of all the praise, all the honor, all the praise, all the glory, God. You're worthy to be praised, God. As it said, if I had 10,000 tongues, Lord, I couldn't praise you enough. I couldn't give you enough praise, God. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't lift your name enough. Because when I think of his goodness and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. You're so worthy. All it takes is you to just start surveying your life, looking back down through the years, thinking about where the Lord has brought you from, how he's kept you. There's some stuff that God got you out of. You was no way that you should have gotten out of it, but God got you out. It's the Lord that brought you out. And how dare you stand up and take credit for getting out of the ministry yourself? It was the Lord that brought us out. He deserves all the honor, all the glory, and all of the praise. It's because of his faithfulness, his truthfulness. We know that God's word is true. We know that we can find solace in his word. We can find comfort in his word. Listen here, we can find the direction and the wisdom that we need in his word. Because he is God. And he's worthy to be praised. Understand, listen, and I told you earlier, that, you know, this psalm is a forward-looking psalm. Because even though they benefited from the times of the writer, we benefited from it right now. Because God is still good. As a matter of fact, I suggest that we are in a better place than they were at that time. Because of Hebrews tells us that we're in a time of a far better covenant, a far better relationship with God. We have a far better sacrifice than they had back then. You see, because we have a sacrifice that was sacrificed once and for all. His name is Jesus. It was Jesus the one. He's the object of the goodness of God. He is the example of God's goodness towards us, because in due season, God sent his son into the world that he might give his life as a sacrifice for us, because the wages of sin is still death. That death came by Jesus Christ, who came down through 42 generations, who came lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, wrapped as a baby, wrapped up in flesh, went about doing good, healing the sick. He raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind. He walked on water, changed water into wine. He fed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 barley loaves of bread. But that still wasn't enough for them. Still wasn't enough for the people of his day. They had him arrested, marched him before an unjust court, took him to Pontius Pilate, where he didn't say a mumbling word. Pontius Pilate, because of the Jews, sentenced him to crucifixion, a death of the cross, and there he died. They marched him up on Golgotha's hill, put the crown of thorns on his head. They nailed him in his hands and nailed him in his feet, stripped him down. There he stood on the Calvary's cross, naked for us. He had been stripped down for us. The shame that he experienced, had never sinned, had never done anything wrong, but he did this for us. He gave his life for you. He gave his life for me. And yes, he suffered, bled, and died. They took him down, put him in a borrowed man's tomb. He stayed there Friday and all day Saturday. But the record declared that on the third day he rose with all power of heaven and earth in his hands to the glory of God the Father. And because Jesus rose, I'll rise too. I'm going to get up one day. Even if they kill me, even if they take this body and put it in the grave, I'm going to rise because Jesus rose. I've been justified. I'm being sanctified. And eventually I'll be glorified and caught up with him. You see, because I'm still waiting on his return. I'm waiting on him to come back. I know that he's been praying for me. I know that he's coming back because his word tells me he's coming back. My question to you is, will you be ready when he comes back? Will you be ready? Will you be ready to answer the call when he comes back? Because there's going to come a time when it'll be too late. The Bible said that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to God the Father. But it might be too late. You can't bow your knee on the other side and still expect to get into heaven. You need to do it now while you got an opportunity to do it. You need to come on down and give your life to Christ. Stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. This is an opportunity. This is an opportunity. Is there one? Is there one? Come on, if you know he's good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endure it forever.
Come on, is he good? If you're looking for a good church home, I recommend this one. Will you come? Clap of praise, he's worthy. We thank and praise God for his word. And as I often say, it's better to do the word than just hear the word. Let's not just be hearers of the word, but let's do the word. All of us have an opportunity to show some type of act of compassion. All of us have an opportunity to show the same goodness that God shows to us. All of us have an opportunity to extend the same faithfulness and work that God gives to us. So please, operate in the Word of God, what the Word of God has to say. Amen?
Amen.
All right, all right. All right, please stand to your feet if our hearts are satisfied. As you know, the men, we'll be in Traverse City on next Sunday morning. And And I've left you in capable hands. We have some great men of God here that are going to be taking the pulpit. Reverend Brady Bennett will be bringing the message. So I'm asking you to come out and hear this great man of God and what the Lord has to say through him. If you desire prayer, come down to the throne of grace. Sister Hector, so good to see you. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Now, if you know the Lord is good, come on down to the throne of grace. Amen. If you know the Lord is good, come on down. Come on down. If you know he's good, come on down. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. We offer. Dear eternal and everlasting Father, we come to you this morning, this afternoon. Lord, with thanksgiving in our hearts, God. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for the testimony of the saints. Because I believe that everyone in this building can testify to the goodness of God. And Lord, we all need to come together and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We all need to enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your court with praise. We all need to be thankful. We all need to bless your holy name, God. Because, God, if we can't say anything else, we can say, God, you've been good to us. And I like to personalize it and say, God, you've been good to me. I know I really can't speak for anybody else, but God, thank you for being good to me, God. Thank you, God, for your mercy that you show me each and every day, God. Thank you, God, that you're faithful, that I can depend upon you, God. That, Lord, even when I'm at my weakest, even when I'm at my lowest point, God, you're always there. You're always there with a word of encouragement for me, God. You pick me up where I'm torn down at, Heavenly Father. I thank you, God. Now, Father, I pray that your word will not return unto you void, God. That God, we will leave out of here declaring the goodness of God. Declaring the mercy of God. Declaring the faithfulness of our God. That Lord, we'll be living epistles. That folk might be able to read and to see and to desire to have what we have, God. Teach us how to witness, God. Teach us how to be an effective witness, Lord. Lord, teach us how to lead with our hearts and our minds, God. Lord, we ask it right now. In the name of Jesus, we know, God, that you are worthy. We know that you are able, God. So, God, we're asking right now because you told us that we could. You told us that we could ask. Your word said, ask anything in my name. And so, God, we come asking in the name of Jesus, God, that you would touch these, your people, God, that you begin to reveal and manifest your goodness to them, God, even the areas in which Satan is trying to blind their minds to, God. We pray that you'll take the blinders off their minds, blinders off their eyes, that they might be able to see the goodness of God. Bless us as we depart from this place, but never from your presence, Lord. We come asking, God, that you'll give us traveling mercy, that, God, you will keep us throughout this week. And if it be thy holy will, if it be your will, God, that we'll unite together once again, whereas we can give your name praise, we can uplift you, God. We can give you glory, honor, and the praise, God. For it's in your name, it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. And for his sake, amen, and thank God. Now may the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, may it rest, rule, and abide with us now, hence, and forevermore. Let every heart sing.